If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 8. We'll be looking in a few parts in this chapter, but specifically from verse 30-32. The Bible says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Gospel of John is one of my favorite Gospels. Looking into it more, as I was looking into this portion of Scripture, I've come to notice that there is a lot of I ams in the Gospel of John. And it's the Gospel of the I am. You can probably put it that way. And there are marvelous claims that the Lord Jesus made, and yet through his miracles and through his resurrection at the end there, proving them all to be true. You can imagine what was going through the mind of these religious Pharisees, hearing of this one called Jesus, who's performing these miracles that have never been done before, preaching with such authority as one has never spoken before. And yet now he's coming and preaching and teaching and showing that he, and professing even to be not only the fulfillment of the law, but these Pharisees specifically didn't like that. John chapter 8, the setting of John chapter 8 is at the temple in Jerusalem. It began with the Jews and even the Pharisees bring in this woman that was supposedly caught in adultery and sought to ensnare or catch the Lord out concerning his judgment upon this woman. And as he wisely said, ye who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And he said, beginning from the oldest to the youngest, they all began to just walk away. And the only two that were left there was the Lord Jesus Christ and that woman. And we know what he told that woman, no man condemns thee, but neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And now the Bible says in verse 12 of chapter 8, then spake Jesus again unto them. So whether he moved from where he was or they returned to where he was, he continued to speak with them, those that were there. And he said to them in verse 12 that I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's three things that we're going to look at in John chapter 8. We're going to look at this matter of light. We're going to look at this matter of continuing in his word. And we're going to look into or even consider that if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed in verse 36. Many testimonies I've personally heard, perhaps you yourselves, of people professing to belong to the Lord, professing to be children of God, professing to be Christians, and as we heard this morning, I'm going to be careful not to labor on what a disciple is, but professing to be Christians, which is in the, by definition a follower of Jesus Christ, yet the works that they bring forth show nothing of this light that Jesus said he was. They show nothing of what a disciple or a true Christian ought to be. The works that they bring forth seem to appear as works of darkness rather than works of light. And it was just interesting to note that when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to these Jews, and with amongst them was the Pharisees, that as he was speaking concerning him, his person, being the light of the world, and the fact that the Lord Jesus claimed to be the light of the world is a big statement. Because we read even in 1 John 1:5 where God is light and in him is no darkness. Therefore, for the Lord Jesus Christ claiming to be the light of the world, the Jews knew, especially the Pharisees, where he was going for the, going with this. And if they were left questioning concerning his claim, who he was, he left them without question concerning verse 24 when he concluded by saying, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. They're strong words of the Lord Jesus Christ. and the true words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as he continued to speak, the Bible said, as we already read there in verse 30, that many believed on him. And in verse 31, Jesus then said, Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I just want to say from the beginning, salvation and discipleship is not the same thing. Salvation, as we already read, is when they believed on him. Discipleship is the fruit of salvation. When you profess to be a child of God, now a child of light, well, then that means there's some change to you now. Coming from darkness to light, there is a very clear difference. And one of the clearest marks that the Lord Jesus Christ even said here specifically is that if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. That's a big thing for the Pharisees to consider, let alone to do, let alone the Jews at that time. For Jesus to say to continue in my word, in their minds they're thinking, hang on a minute, we're the Jews here. That believe in the one true God, and we have the scriptures, we have the writings, we're the ones that tell you what the word of God is. We're the teachers of the word of God. Yet they have the Lord Jesus Christ saying, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And we heard what a disciple was this morning. A disciple is one that follows after a teacher, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. Jesus taught many things. And he said many hard sayings, some of which we heard this morning. But one thing he wanted to make clear to these Jews that believed on him, so that there was no question, that one clear mark that you are indeed my child, that you are indeed my disciple, that you have indeed believed on me with all your heart, is that you will continue in my word. And that's the clearest mark of a Christian. Although salvation is separate from discipleship, yet when a Christian gets saved, he automatically becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of do I want to be a disciple or not. It's a matter of taking up your calling now, taking up your identity and walking therein. That's what a disciple is. Salvation is come unto me. Whereas discipleship is come after me. Salvation is all about the cross of Christ. Whereas discipleship is about our cross that Christ wants us to bear, that is prepared for us. Salvation is receiving his gift, that gift of eternal life. Discipleship is giving the Lord back a gift. And that gift I submit to you is in Romans chapter 12 verse 1. Presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. He gave his life for us, therefore, is it not but our reasonable service to lay down our life for him and for the brethren? There is a difference between salvation and discipleship. But if you are truly born again and a child of God, then your life ought to show it. Jesus saying he is the light of the world. One commentator said this, light speaks for itself. When light is manifest, you don't necessarily need a describer, it speaks for itself. And elsewhere in the scriptures, how it draws a big contrast, not only concerning the children of God becoming children of light who were once children of darkness, but that there is no communion between darkness and light. One prevails above the other, but yet if there's a light, light will always prevail. Even if we will look at the to your left here and you see that it's dark, but in the distance you can see certain lights, can't you? Well, how do you know that they're lights? Well, you can't maybe explain all the details, but you could see a few there, you could see a few there, you could see a few there. And the point is this, that when light is shining in darkness, you can't miss it. Doesn't matter how dark it is, if there's a light there, you can't miss it. And the Lord Jesus Christ came preaching that he is the light of the world. And by this very light, 2 was not only an identification of a child of God, but this very light was actually one of the reasons why men still stood and do stand, perhaps even today, in condemnation. Look with me in John chapter 3, what it says there. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, and this is the condemnation. Let's back it up to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Notice verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So you see, there's a big distinction between light and darkness, and that light that you either receive or reject. You receive it, you become that light in this world. You reject it, that's just heaped upon you, adding to that condemnation because you have rejected that light. But concerning this continuing as a disciple, you continue as a child of light. To say that you are a Christian but be manifesting fruits of darkness is confusing, very confusing. To say that I prayed a prayer when I was young and I sincerely and simply believed with all my heart and asked Christ to save me from my sin, but then what you continued in followed that does not match the scriptures, that's confusing. If you profess to be saved but then continue in darkness, there's something wrong. And let me submit to you today, there's nothing wrong with the scriptures and the fruits in which it defines, whereby you can identify a child of God, but there's something wrong with your profession. You've made a profession, but thy works deny thy profession. And therefore, though you profess to be a child of light, you seem to be abiding in darkness. We can't see any light. Have you ever spoken to someone that speaks with much knowledge, but then when you're speaking with them, it's almost hard to get a spiritual conversation going to start with, but secondly, it's almost as if there's no life in them? Well, that's because life comes by this light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Concerning the light, John chapter 12, verse 46, the Lord Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Matthew chapter 5, when the Lord was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, said this to his disciples, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. How can you hide a city that's lit up? Even if it's dark, you could still see the light of a city. It cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. They don't hide it, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Light is very clear. You can't miss it. If we were to switch these lights off now, even that's giving us light here, if there be just one light here or there, you could still see it. Darkness will never prevail over light. If you hide the light, perhaps yes, but if there's a light there, it's not made to be hidden, it's made to be shown. And if you are the light of the world, child of God, if you profess to be a child of the King, you profess to be a child of light, then let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works. Are they good? Because if you are a child of light, then therefore you will bring forth good works. But if you profess to be a child of light, but are bringing forth unrighteousness, unrighteous works, works of darkness, works of iniquity, hate, works of the flesh, then something's wrong with your profession. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When I hear a testimony that says, I prayed a prayer when I was young, but then it's just been hard ever since, you know. And then I hear straight after that profession, it's been a life and a lifestyle of consistent wickedness and darkness in whatever form, whether in a small or big, if you want to put a measure to sin, but a consistent life of wickedness, a consistent life of fleshliness, lasciviousness, unrighteousness, rebellion. That's confusing. How is this what's so marvelous about that light? If we have been brought from darkness into this marvelous light, marvelous. Amen. You marvel at it. When someone, there's no contrast. And so when someone becomes a child of light, mate, that's marvelous. And you could see it by their good works. And you marvel at the miracle of regeneration and the working of God in your heart. But if you are saying that I prayed a prayer when I was young and, you know, I've just kind of gone astray, and your life since then has manifested nothing concerning the fruits of righteousness, what's marvelous about that? What's marvelous and glorious about that salvation? What's so divine about that nature in which you've been brought into? Let me submit to you, nothing at all. You've made a profession, perhaps. Maybe you've had your conscience pricked and you've felt guilt and you've known right from wrong. You've perhaps even been, as I've heard many a testimonies, scared of hell. And you just don't want to go to hell. And so you come to the Lord and say, I don't want to go to hell. I'll take you into my heart. Almost like you're making a deal with the Lord. I don't want to go to hell. But there's nothing concerning your understanding of the seriousness of your sin before God. There's a reason why the Lord Jesus said, if you continue in my word, continue in my word. And that's the next thing we're going to look at. Because if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. John chapter 17, verse 17, the Lord Jesus in his prayer said there, sanctify them, speaking of his children, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, not only is the word of God truth, but more specifically, the gospel is truth. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That truth that you believe will make you free. When you continue in his word, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Beginning where? With the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That glorious gospel. We know it all too well, don't we? Those who have been sound under the sound preaching of the word of God. We can say it now. If I was to ask everyone here, what's the gospel of Jesus Christ? The majority here can probably tell me clearly, and some even perhaps in more detail, what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, and how he came and died for our sins according to the scriptures, and was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. And we know the gospel clearly, and we've heard it all before, but that's about it. That gospel has not taken effect in your heart. You have a knowledge that's only stayed here, and that's about it. You know some things. You know a lot of verses. You know right from wrong. By the way, even the atheist that professes there is no God knows right from wrong. As an unregenerate Catholic man, I knew what right was. I knew what wrong was. As an unregenerate man, following what I believed to be sincerely the way, the Catholic way, even though I wasn't a Catholic zealot, I used to always actually say, as a matter of fact, that I was a Christian. I never used to say I was a Catholic. I always say I was a Christian. And so many a times I would feel guilty over my sin. absolute guilt and absolute shame, and it was just building up in my heart time and time again. I don't know how many times I came to God and said, I'm sorry, Lord, I'll never do that again. I'm sorry, Lord, I'll never do that again. I'm sorry, Lord, I'll never do that again. But yet I found myself doing it again and again and more and more and more, and it just got worse and worse and worse. Why? Because I was a slave to that sin. I wasn't free. I was a slave to it, an absolute slave to it. We have many sitting in our midst under sound Bible teaching that can tell you many things from Scripture, but yet their life is just seems to testify of the bondage of sin that they have. They know the gospel. They know the truth. Hey, they can even encourage you in how to walk with the Lord, but their life manifests nothing but what they would profess to be a struggle. It's just a struggle. I'm just struggling. One more year later, it's just a struggle. This life is hard. You know, the Christian walk is hard. The Christian walk is wonderful. The Christian walk is liberating. The Christian walk may be hard at times, but mate, it's simple. The Christian walk doesn't mean you abide in darkness and stay under defeat. The Christian walk is a victorious one. You have the light of life in you. You have the truth in you. You have the very truth that teaches you and instructs you how to walk in obedience. So that and it tells you how that the Lord has delivered you through that glorious gospel, and you're no longer under the bondage of sin, and that you can say no to sin. You don't have to continue therein anymore. But when you're saying that life is hard, and this is perhaps going to be a lifetime struggle, this sin of mine, it's just, this is going to be my cross, this is my thorn in the flesh, this sin of mine. You don't see anything like that in the Scriptures. You don't see any. The thorn in the flesh was a physical infirmity to humble you, lest you be lifted up in pride to walk with the Lord. The cross that Christ wants us to bear isn't a cross of our sin. It's a cross that we bear for others, even for others. Christ bore the cross for us, and therefore He wants us to take our cross for others. It's not for our sin. That's not our cross. When someone, a slave, was freed from sin, be sure they knew the moment those shackles came off them. Be sure the moment that they were set free, they knew that they were free indeed. There wasn't confusion concerning their freedom. And this is why, again, with the Jews that he was speaking to now in verse 33, they did not understand what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. And so in verse 33, they answered him, saying, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Never been in bondage to any man? Do these Pharisees read their Bible? Do they forget the book of Judges? Do they forget the years of bondage and how God will send a judge to deliver them from the hand of one enemy and deliver them the moment they cried out into rest until they rebelled against the Lord and they were delivered up again into bondage and oppression under the hand of another enemy until another judge delivered them? And years of oppression, yet they an open lie, an open, blatant lie. We were never in bondage to any man. And so then Jesus gets straight to the heart matter. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And then he goes on to tell them, hey, "Ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me. Because why? My word has no place in you." My word has no place in you. This is why. "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." He points them out again that, no, that's not your father. I'm not talking about Abraham.
No, I'm talking about your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Now they're mocking the Lord. Born of a virgin. We be not born of fornication. They did not. They completely missed Isaiah 7:14. Completely missed it. Mocking the virgin birth. We be not born of fornication. And then look at this. Excuse me. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, as they said, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Do you know why? Verse 44. Look with me there. Ye are of your father the who?
The devil.
And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You know why they didn't want to hearken to the truth of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because they don't care for it. It has no place in them. They don't want it. They're not of God. They're happy to continue in their own way. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who was showing them the truth and exposing their sin for what it is, telling them that whosoever committeth, that is a continual life of sin, is the servant of sin. Let me ask you this. How can you be a servant of God and a servant of sin? I don't see that in the scriptures anywhere. How can you profess to be a child of God, that you believed on him, yet you do not continue in his word? You continue in a life of sin. Let me submit to you today that perhaps you're still a slave to sin. You have not been made free yet, but you can be free indeed, the Bible says. You can be set free. You can know for sure that you are a child of light. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. These Pharisees didn't care for the truth. They didn't like the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke the truth. Hey, these are sharp words. Ye are of your father, the devil. Now imagine being 24 years old, just saved, having a Catholic understanding, which the understanding was everyone's a child of God, and then reading this passage here. Of your father, the devil? What? Not everyone's a child of God? That's a serious thing. But that makes so much more sense. I was a child of the devil. No wonder I couldn't stop. Like Charlie would say, I'd say with him, mate, I was a sinning machine. I'd say with Paul the Apostle, mate, I was the chief of sinners. Why? I was an absolute slave to it. I was not made free. Yes, I professed to be a Christian, but I wasn't free indeed. I wasn't his disciple indeed. I wasn't a follower of Christ truly, for I had no light in me. I can tell you a thing or two about Christ, but didn't have that light in me. I don't know how many of you are sitting here perhaps today and have a testimony like that. That I made a profession when I was younger. Oh, but man, I just fell into sin. And then the majority of your life has been pretty much a testimony of sin, a testimony of wickedness, a testimony of a Christian who's constantly struggling. My friends, examine yourself. Examine yourself. When the Pharisees and the Jews were questioning the doctrine of Christ in John chapter 5, he told them, hang on a minute, mate, you think search the scriptures. You think you have eternal life? Mate, they are they which testify of me. How did you miss it? You saying you have eternal life, but yet you deny me? You don't come unto me that you might have life? Search the scriptures. You heard my wife's testimony this morning. And one thing, we already spoke about this, but one thing I saw when she, in 2016, when she got saved, as she was saying, I saw that girl change. I remember the first day I met her, I thought, something's missing here. And then the more I got to know her, I said, okay, I don't know much about her, but that when the moment I heard what happened after that Wednesday night, where she yielded her life to the Lord, and then, mate, that instant desire came. What happened? A concern for souls, a desire for truth, a desire for the Word of God, soaking in the preaching like You've gone days without water and you've just taken in the living water and you can't get enough and you want more. And then you can't stop thinking about others and you've got to go tell others about this truth now. And you want to encourage others in that way. Something happened here. It's like the light went on. That's exactly what happened. The light went on. And when the light goes on in darkness, there's no mistake in it. Amen. It's clear in the scriptures. And there was one thing in these 2 years where she was seeking the Lord, or as the Lord was ministering to her heart to bring her to this understanding in which she came to. I always encouraged her this way. Tab, read the Word of God for what it is and don't change it. Whatever fruits it's saying of a Christian, don't undermine that. Whatever fruits it's showing of a lost person, don't undermine that. Let the Bible say what it means, because it means what it says. And if you just go back to this benchmark right here, if you go back to this standard right here, hey, a lot of us are undone, aren't we? It's the standard of God's Word that exposes the truth. It's the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the light of the truth of God's Word. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life that exposes where we are and what we are and where we stand before Him, therefore seeing our need to be saved. That was one way I always encouraged it. Don't just, whatever the Bible says, it means what it says. And as you heard a testimony, coming more and more, growing in the knowledge of the Word of God, and then when the penny dropped, was seeing that lady suddenly get saved. Man, as Natalie and Tabitha were just ministering the Word of God to her, I don't know if her jaw was open or not, but as they were ministering the Word of God to her, I can imagine what was going on in her heart. And then eventually she said, what did she say? Man, something happened in my heart. I've been set free. I feel free. I feel like a load has come off. What happened? She believed with all her heart. What happened after that? Mate, like, there's no mistake in her salvation. She didn't want to leave us. You know what she wanted to do straight away? Wants to read this book. Straight away. Wants to tell others. Wanted to be around the fellowship. Do you know what else started happening after that? The next Sunday that she came to church, already she was serving the saints. Concerned, as you heard in the testimony, of her modesty. Instantly thinking on the Word of God, taking it for what it is. Something happened. You know what happened? Light entered into her, and she came from a child of darkness to a child of light. Salvation is that marvelous. It's divine. It's miraculous. You don't get confused when someone gets saved. You don't get confused when someone gets saved. There's no confusion when the Holy Spirit of God comes in you. Why did Jesus say, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed? Why? Because many profess to be Christians yet don't continue in the Word. They continue in their own ways. That's confusing. I profess the Lord Jesus to be my Lord, yet I'm ruling my own life. He has no say in what I do. Of course, you'll never say that. But what you're not realizing is that your works are showing that forth. But what you have, my friend, is you may say you have faith, but let me just say it's a dead faith. It's an absolute dead faith. James chapter 2 in verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Mate, wonderful. Thou doest well. You know what it says there in verse 19? The devils also believe and tremble. There's nothing different about you and the devil. Or the devils. Nothing different. No difference. You believe in God, mate. Good, that's wonderful. That's one step in the right direction, perhaps. But the devils also believe, and they tremble, the Bible says. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? If you profess a profession of salvation, but there's no works that back that up, that's a dead profession. Vain. Empty, no life, no light. You say, is that even possible to be sitting under sound preaching for so long, or to hear the word? I don't disagree with it. I don't argue against it. I'm not saying it's not the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not saying anything like that. Is it possible to do that and believe in God, believe in one God even, believe that even Jesus is God and that He is the only way and by Him alone I need to be saved and He's the only way to get to heaven and not be saved? Yes, yes. In Matthew chapter 13, Joshua touched on it already in the morning, so I'm not going to labor heavily on it, concerning the parable of the sower, the four soils. We're very familiar with it. From chapter 13, verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. The word of God reached the place it had never reached before. It reached his heart, but it was snatched away. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is that heareth the word and or immediately with joy receiveth it. With joy receiveth it. Wow, man, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. You see that? Did not continue in my word. Verse 22, he also that received seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful, bears no fruit. These first three soils bear no fruit. No fruit whatsoever. But in verse 23, but he that received the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. A child of light will always bring forth fruit. John chapter 15, where the Lord teaches us to abide in him, we that are his children, he is the vine. We are the branches, and without him we can do nothing except we abide in the vine. Excuse me. And in verse 8, notice this. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You know what a child of light brings forth? Fruit. Good fruit. Not evil fruit, not wicked fruit, but good fruit, testifying of that light that he has within him. And my friends, if the life you have lived does not match up with the fruit of a Christian, with the fruit of a child of light, then maybe you've never really truly understood this matter of repentance from sin. Maybe you've never actually comprehended the fact that it's my sin and my rebellion that I need to turn from. It's my sin and iniquity and the way of this world, the ways of the devil that I need to turn from and forsake. It's that very wicked thing that not only put Christ on that cross, but is what binds me into this condemnation, eventually ending up in hell. It's sin that needs to be repented of. It's this darkness in which you're walking in that needs to be repented of. You're Christian. Some people perhaps, you know, before I go there, one good measure or one good way of testing how your heart is, I guess, towards the Lord. For example, let me say that again. One good way to test that if you are a child of God is determined by your response to God's word. The way you respond to God's word actually determines your standing with the Lord. Did you know that? Remember how the Lord told them, my word has no place in you? In that same chapter, in John chapter 8, verse 47, look what it says there. He that is of God heareth God's word. And he told these Pharisees, these Jews, ye therefore hear them not. Why? Because ye are not of God. You know when you have no regard for the word of God? Let me say this at the very least. Big question mark concerning your profession to be his child. When you know what the word of God says, let me use a very practical example, what we heard this morning. Would anyone disagree with the preaching this morning that was preached faithfully from the word of God? Mate, no one would dare stand up and say no. We'd say, God forbid if anyone disagreed with that, but hang on a minute. What did you go and speak about in secret to others? Did you walk away and say, oh dear God, I didn't know that. I've not been your disciple. I've not walked therein. I've not said goodbye to these things that are holding me back and to these ones that are holding me back. I've not done that. Lord, I want to do that. I want to be your faithful disciple. Or did you go and say, oh, so out of balance. Oh, that preacher. I don't know. I'm not saying anyone did it, but I'm just, you see where I'm getting at? Your response to the words of Christ, your response to the preaching of the word determines your standing with God, whether you belong to him or not, or whether Christian you've just gone that bitter or that hard against the Lord, where it's almost like, you know, the sin unto death is probably at your doorstep. I don't know. But hearing God's word is a clear mark of a true disciple of Christ, continuing therein. A lot of Christians have a rich young ruler Christianity. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And he lists off certain commands. Yeah, I've kept these from my youth. You know, what must I do? So what did the Lord Jesus do in Matthew chapter 10? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 verse 21, then Jesus beholding him loved him and said unto him, one thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. We know what happened to that rich young ruler. Many people that profess to be Christians have a rich young ruler Christianity, that say everything's right and they do everything right and they know right from wrong and you can't fault them on anything outwardly speaking. But when the preacher or the preaching of the word or the word of God touches on a nerve in their heart, they walk away sorrowful. They don't like what they're hearing. They don't like hearing about holiness. They don't like hearing about surrender. They don't like hearing about discipleship. They don't like constantly hearing the challenge and reminder, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? They don't like it. They don't like the conditions of Christ to be found worthy of being his disciple. They don't like it. They don't like the fact that they have to hate mother and father and brother and sister, wife, son, daughter, yea, even their own life also. They don't like that. So they go away sorrowful, like the rich young ruler. Many have a rich young ruler Christianity. Many have a Judas Christianity that for the right price at the right time will walk away and betray the Lord. For the right price at the right time will walk away and betray the Lord. As we heard this morning, the disciple of Christ that continues in the world, hey, he's counted the cost already. Hang on a minute. He's already been bought. There's no price that's going to buy him. He's made his decision who his Lord is and his master and which way he's going to walk in. But many have a Judas Christianity. They'll just stay in it to get something out of it that benefits them. And once they've got what they want, see you later. See you later. A Judas Christianity. You know, one of the scariest Christianities that we see, when I say we see, ye that are spiritually minded see, in Bible-believing circles, I say Bible-believing circles today, is a Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23 Christianity. A Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23 Christianity. Very familiar with these verses. Not everyone that saith, this is at the day of judgment. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? What a super Christian. Living for the Lord, in the name of the Lord, they do all things. Everything, their life is revolved. They're preaching in the Lord's name, casting out devils in the Lord's name. Hey, many, not just a few, but many wonderful works in the Lord's name. But this kind of Christianity has a judgment that ends up with verse 23 that says, when the Lord says, I will profess unto them, like Charlie preached, four words you never want to hear, I never knew you. But you know what was interesting that followed that? I never knew you. Concerning all this Christianity or this following after the Lord that they professed, look what the Lord called it, or called them. Depart from me, ye that work. What part of this is iniquity, a work of iniquity? That's an inward sin. Their motive of their heart was as if that, yeah, they can get through by their works and they're doing everything right. They're not doing anything wrong. They're doing everything right. But there's no life in them. Doing right doesn't mean you have life in you. As an unsaved man, I knew right from wrong. I knew what right was and I walked in that way for a time and I knew when I was walking in the wrong way. And before many, I'll walk a right way. And so therefore, my testimony before them was, this guy's a good guy. He's a top bloke. He is. That was my testimony before many. If you want to say I had one. Many approved, but in secret. Oh, in the depths of my heart, God knew. God knew the wretchedness. God knew the very things that I've done that I've forgotten. God knows the very things that that no one still till today knows, and I thank God that they've been forgiven and forgotten. God knows the heart of man, hence why he can say, ye that work iniquity. How many Christians have a Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23 Christianity in our midst today? Doing everything right by the book, but no life, no power, no passion, nothing, no conviction, no discernment, no life. Thinking they're okay by their works alone. But let me say to you, my brethren, I can't labor much longer. My time is well nigh up. But this kind of Christianity is what has brought confusion and, let me just say, compromise to Bible-believing circles. I dare say how many a pastor or preacher is standing behind the pulpit preaching God's word yet are unregenerate. Who are these wolves in sheep's clothing that the Bible says are going to come out from amongst you and they're going to seek to creep in and devour the flock? Who are these wolves? When you look at a confusing Christianity, let me say this at the very least, don't undermine it. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ said very clearly, what is a clear mark of a Christian, of one who's truly believed on him? If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. These ones that have come for a time and have gone, the Bible says this about them in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Don't be simple, Christian, to think that everyone in our midst is a child of God. You know, when I got saved and stepped foot into a Bible-believing church, I thought everyone was saved. I did. That's it. I thought everyone in here was saved. Why? I just came to the knowledge of the truth. I've just been made free. I have light. I have joy. I have peace. I have a desire for the word. And I've even got a love for these people that I've met before that call themselves brethren. I thought everyone was saved. I thought everyone was on fire for God. I thought everyone was walking with the Lord. I thought, mate, how could this be? But the more I read the word and grew in the Lord, and the more I continue to observe the works of certain ones, confusion. You know why? God delivered me from that. But that's wicked. How can you say that? Mate, that's wrong. Why are you doing that? Mate, why are you setting that before your eyes? You're taking a group to go and set a wicked thing before your eyes? I was confused. Absolutely confused. Why? Because is there such thing as this kind of Christianity? But you know when I found out there's no such thing as that kind of Christianity? When I pick up this book and read passages like the one that we heard tonight, and read passages like we heard this morning. And when we hear preaching about living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, when we hear preaching about proving all things, and proving all things and holding fast to that which is good and abstaining from all appearance from evil, when I hear preaching like that and read scriptures like that, I feel like, nah, I'm not going crazy. There's something going on here before me that's seriously concerning. Something is very, very wrong. Why? Because you have people professing to be Christians and children of light, yet they're walking in darkness comfortably. Comfortably. Oh yeah, they know that it's wrong. Oh yeah, they feel guilty here and there sometimes. But comfortably, they even laugh about it. They even joke about it. You know what? And they say, okay, you know what? They're going to get spiritual. So they know those spiritual Christians who don't do those things, so they just won't invite them. And so they'll just continue. That's concerning. That is very, very concerning. If you're sitting here tonight and your testimony is something along the lines of, you know, when I was younger, I just simply believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, growing up, you know, I went away from the Lord. If that's it, like straight away, a profession and then a continuance in a life of sin, alarm bells ought to be ringing. Alarm bells ought to be ringing, because why? If you truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, you will continue in His Word. Hey, like we heard this morning, does that mean you're going to be perfect? No. But as Pastor has mentioned many a times, don't you want to be perfected? A disciple by no means equals perfection, but as we heard this morning, it equals commitment. I'm done and dusted. There are several testimonies I was liking to share. I even have it on video if you want to see it later. They'll encourage your heart. Testimonies of different ones. One man who was in the ministry, a pastor, he, by his own words, said full-fledged in the ministry and then fell into sin and had to resign the ministry. And he said this from his own words. He said, one day I was reading the book of 1 John and I read the whole book of 1 John and this was the conclusion. That if the Bible was true, I'm a lost man. If the Bible was true, then I'm a lost man. Another man testifies that how he, as a young boy, saw the pastor come in to the house and his parents called him in and the pastor called him in and they sat down and a few words were shared and the boy prayed a prayer and he said there was tears and there was rejoicing and everyone was happy. He said, but my life did not manifest from Galatians chapter 6, verse 22. He said, my life, you have to back up to verse 19, the fruits of the flesh. And he realized he was a lost man. Another man was with his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law was a Christian, and he asked him concerning his salvation. He said, oh, yeah, man, I took care of that a long time ago. And this man, he said, you know what, when he picked up his Bible for the first time as a Christian, as an older man, picked up his Bible for the first time, and he said the church he was attending started to do a Bible study called something concerning the life of holiness. Okay, it's concerning a life of holiness. And he said, when he read in the Word of God, be ye holy, for I am holy, his testimony, he says, that bothered him. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And then he said the next verse that bothered him was Luke 6:46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And as light began to dawn on him, the more he realized he was a lost man. And he got saved. And he testifies after he got saved, now he was singing in the shower. He said, I don't sing, but I found myself singing in the shower and I had joy in my heart. Who here can raise their hand and say, you know when I got saved, let me tell you about the light that came into my soul. You know when I got saved? Mate, I stayed up that till about 4 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't go to sleep. When I went to sleep, after telling I don't know how many people, including my family, at night and my friends, in the early hours of the morning, I went to sleep with a big smile on my face. And when I woke up with a big smile on my face, thanking the Lord, I couldn't believe this. What's going on here in my heart? What's this? And you know, when I walked outside and I saw this I don't know what kind of tree it is. It looks like a very ugly tree. But I looked at this tree and it's just the wind's blowing and I'm, wow, what's going on here? Birds singing, the clouds, a few clouds, blue skies, the sun shining. What's going on here? It felt like I was in a new world. Why? Light came into my soul. There was a change. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things became new. I didn't want to swear anymore. I didn't want to smoke anymore. I didn't want to drink anymore. I didn't want to live a life of immorality anymore. I didn't want to walk a path of darkness anymore. I didn't want to see how far I can tread the line anymore. I just want to see what's the truth. Why has this been hidden from me all these years? Mate, there's a change that takes place and it's not confusing. It's clear. It's clear. But do you know how you can stay seeing that clear change and have no confusion concerning someone's salvation? Let's not undermine the fruits of salvation. Let's not undermine the fruit of repentance. Let's not undermine the standard of the Word of God. Let's not undermine sin and continue to call it for what it is, because when you do, then you'll see things for in its true light. And your response to the Word of God, who cares if there's 400 prophets of Baal that are standing up against you? If God said it and you stand therein, you're standing in light. You may be that only light in that place of darkness, but be sure, let there be a 1,000 false prophets, that light will continue to shine. That light will continue to shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't hide that light. Ye are the light of the world. I don't know why. It was only when I was 24 years old when I heard the gospel. And in closing, let me say this about concerning this light. You know, when I walked into the church that I was attending after I got saved, I saw people there that I knew. And I walked up to them. Oh, no way. When did you get saved? Oh, yeah, we've been Christian for a long time. Huh? I'm talking about men that professed to be Christians for a long time that I knew and that know my brothers, and they're lost as can be on their way to hell. I said, mate, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you say something? You know their life, mate, talking about cars nonstop and burnouts and girls and fights. Their conversation manifested nothing but a child of light. You've been a Christian for a long time? That's confusing. That's sad. But that's the kind of Christianity that we have today, as we heard the morning, this Laodicean age in which we have. Why? Because we've undermined what a disciple of Christ is, what a Christian is. And when you don't walk in the light of God's word, when you don't let those lower lights burn, it's to the destruction of many. Right. It's to the destruction of many. Right. I said to those boys, when you tell my brothers, mate, my brothers love these boys. When you tell my brothers, oh, no, you know, they're like, mate, if you got the message of light, if you are the light of the world, then let your light so shine before men. In what way? At the very least, let them see your good works. Why? Because that will glorify your Father in heaven. Let them see, hey, there's something different about you. Not like, oh, you're just a different type of Christian, but you do the same things we do. What's so different about that? But a true child of God manifests a continuing in the Word of God. Don't undermine that standard. You may have made a profession when you were younger, but if you will be honest with yourself, when you consider your life as a whole, as we heard this morning, as a whole, will people point at you and say, mate, that's a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or they don't know what to say. You're saying one thing, but manifesting another. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And as it says there in verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Chains fell off, my heart is set free. Isn't that wonderful to be a Christian? Amen. Isn't that wonderful to be God's child? Isn't that wonderful to have His forgiveness? Isn't that wonderful to be redeemed? And I forget the rest of the words. But it's glorious, isn't it?
Do you have that same joy? Do you have that same passion? Or is it just, oh yeah, I know that's true. You see where I'm getting at? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Amen?
Amen. Amen.